Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. Picture this. In a large gym on the Essex campus of the Community College of Baltimore County, 50 high school, college, and professional dancers move with purpose. They stand in pairs, their hands moving in small, intricate signs. They turn to other dancers and pound their chests and thighs. The group splits into two lines, marching away until they meet again in the middle. That's what you would have seen over the weekend at a rehearsal for the dance production Migration, which will be performed a week from Sunday on January 28th. The project is led by dancer, choreographer, and CCBC alumnus Peter Pucci. Pucci attended what was then Northern High School in Baltimore City and earned an associate degree in physical education from the Community College of Baltimore County. He went on to be an acclaimed professional dancer and choreographer. He directs and creates movement for his own company, Peter Pucci Plus Dancers. Peter Pucci, welcome to On the Record.
Thank you, Sheila. It's a pleasure to be here.
When you went to CCBC, did you intend to study dance?
Not at all. I was there to be, a gym teacher, basically.
Gym teacher?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. Mrs. Clem at Sinclair Elementary was my inspiration, and I played football, basketball, and baseball. I came up with Mary Dopkin, who used to live in Claremont Housing Project, and did sports, basically. So I went there to be a physical education teacher, and then one of the classes I took was called Rhythmic Analysis, which was actually a disguise for a modern dance class taught by Carol Drake. And she saw that I had the ability to make up movement, freeform, improvisation. It came very naturally to me, and I just didn't really understand what that meant, dance, improvisation. And so she sort of pulled me into dance classes, into the dance company. And I was trying, learning how to dance, but I didn't know how to crawl yet as far as dance technique was concerned. But I could make up movement. I had an innate ability to choreograph, which I didn't know what that meant at the time.
So you graduated from CCBC and then?
I went to Towson University for 2 years and continued my education. I was also running track at CCBC or Essex Community at the time, and then Towson, and doing the dance company at the same time. So I was in this male world as an athlete running track. I was an All-American in the mile relay at CCBC, and then I decided to I really wanted to dance, and I shot down to – I was in Dallas for a year at the Southern Methodist University on scholarship in the Dallas Ballet. And then I went to North Carolina School of the Arts, which is a sort of equivalent to a Juilliard, and majored in modern dance and got my degree. Went to New York, $50 in a duffel bag, auditioned for 3 companies, Palabla Dance Theater. I got in with 250 other men auditioning, and I hit the road for 15 years, basically, dancing professionally, around traveling, choreographing around the world.
So you both began dancing and choreographing because of this talent you have for creating movement.
Yeah, it came naturally to me, and really one of the reasons that Palabla Dance Theater hired me, because it was very collaborative. Everyone contributed to the choreography. It was actually a lot of fun.
This project that brings you back to Baltimore brings together dancers ages 12 to 32.
Yes.
Varying levels of experience. What challenges does that represent?
Well, we auditioned the dancers, and they, so most of them do have some dance experience. There are a few that don't have as much, but I really wanted to, the idea was to bring all these different people together in different communities. That was the inspiration for Migration, because I just thought if I was going to come back to Baltimore, it's part of me giving back to the community, that I wanted to have as many people as possible have this experience, what it's like to work in a professional creative process. I've been coming back and forth since September, and I'll have to say that the kids have worked incredibly hard, and all the teachers have sort of facilitated them hanging on to the movement. So it's a 45-minute piece, no intermission, but we've been piecing it together through the course of the whole fall. So I work over at Towson, I'll work at Carver, I'll work at Patapsico, and then I'll go to St. Tim's and work with the collective in the evening. And then I put them all together once a week when I come in for these rehearsal process and try to get them all on the same page. So it's a lot of work. I'm more dealing with over 50 people and their different schedules, and it's been a lot of preparation. And
You mentioned the Collective.
Yes, the local dance, it's a professional dance company, and they've been fantastic because they're professionals, and they've been also like den mothers to all the younger dancers. So, you know, you have this cross-pollination of someone from Carver dancing with the professional dance company, and you have people from St. Tim's working with the Tapsco people. In that sense, the whole idea of having this cross-pollination, have all these dancers together working on a common goal, has really worked. And I'm really happy about that.
Well, tell me more about that. In addition to getting to study new materials and with professional dancers, what else are the younger dancers getting out of this experience?
I think the process of creating and working with, you know, I've created a number of dances. I've created with ballet companies. I've worked on Broadway plays with, you know, Juilliard. I've taught. I've been around. I've done so much. And so all those experiences I've had, I'm sharing with them the process of how dance is such a hard profession to be in. And I think whether they dance professionally or not is not the point, is what they come away with a respect for the art form and a dedication to it. And that's what I'm trying to, you know, instill in them. How do you work in the room? How do you focus? Where's your attention during that process? That I think is the thing that they're learning the most. You know, sort of, this is hard work, and it takes a lot of dedication and a lot of you know, homework. You have to look at the you know, now we have video, so they can look at the rehearsal process, and have, you know, because I don't see that. I've been seeing them sometimes twice a month or once a month in over the months, and they have to remember the steps. They have to remember the counts. Everything's counted out. You know, it's not random at all. So it takes a lot of work for them. They have to know the music. They have to remember the choreography. And they all have other things going on in their lives. You know, they're at school full time. They're, you know, they have tests and studies and things they have to do. So the dancers that have committed to this have really taken it on for, you know, since September. You know, so it's been a long process.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with choreographer Peter Pucci. Pucci grew up in Baltimore and attended the Community College of Baltimore County in the 1970s. It was Essex Community College then. He's currently back at CCBC working on a production called Migration to be performed January 28th. One of the inspirations for this project was the work of geneticist Spencer Wells, who led the Geographic Project, an effort by National Geographic to map human migration by collecting DNA samples. What about that work captured your imagination?
Yeah, so like science and dance, how does that fit into the picture? Well, I had the idea of bringing these people together, and I had this idea of making a big dance with a lot of people. I found the music first. Dawn of Midi is this amazing band from Brooklyn. And then I happened to hear Spencer on a TED Talk on public radio. I think it was TED Radio Hour with Guy Raz. And I just was struck by his research, which what he's done is tracked all this DNA going back 60,000 years ago to a tribe in Africa, the San. And I thought it was so interesting because we're all connected. Our blood history is through our DNA. And through the Geographic Project, you can see your lineage going back 60,000 years. But we're all connected through our DNA. And I thought that was just fascinating. I think in today's environment, it's something important to know. And that's what's inspired me, is that we have to talk about diversity, talk about having these different dancers come from different social environments, different economic environments, and having them all together, working together. That's sort of the impetus to this.
But how do you convey the theme of migration in movement?
That's the big, I looked at his work, I read his book, I look at him online, I look at all his talks, I look at, you know, sort of peripheral information about that, how people migrated, physically did that. And then I just let it all just settle in, and then I just go into the studio and make dance. It's not like I'm going to try and recreate DNA or the process of people slowly moving across the Sahara. I'm looking at that, trying to do things like that. But it's instinctual. I just make the movement. I have a mitochondrial Eve in the middle of the dance, and she sort of pounds out and creates this sort of thing in my mind that she's spreading her DNA or spreading her lineage throughout the world. And how do you do that physically? How do you make that dance? Well, in my mind, I put 50 people around her, and they sort of ripple out like dropping a pebble into a pond, and it ripples out. And from there, it goes on. They all have created tribes. I've created physical language for each tribe. Each school has their own language that I've created for them, physical. And so because how they communicated, through sign language before they had language. So anyway, the research comes in and it just filters through me and with the music. And I, after creating dance for over 30 years, I just sort of trust my instincts about what I think is the right thing at the moment in relationship to the movement, to the dance, to the choreography.
On the record, senior producer Maureen Harvey went to one of the rehearsals and interviewed some of the dancers about this project. Let's hear from them.
I've learned to be more sharp with my moves and to work better together with other dancers.
It's different because of the age groups and then having to get together with everyone and figuring out how every part fits in together.
The music's really cool, but it's often repetitive, and the time signature of the music is often changing a lot. So at one moment you're counting in fours, and then another moment you're counting in six, and then 11, and you have to be counting the entire time, and if you stop counting for 1 second, you're done. You lost it.
Yeah.
That was Blessing Darden, age 12.
Yes.
Anastasia McKenzie, age 24, and Anita Samick, age 21. They'll perform in Migration a week from Sunday at CCBC Essex. Anita mentioned something you referred to earlier, the music.
Yeah. Well, it's the music is complex. It's syncopated. The time signatures are all over the place. It's in threes. Sometimes it's in sevens, and sometimes it's in eights and nines. I sat down with a musical director to go through the music because there's no score. The band plays by memory.
This is the band Dawn of Midi.
Yeah, which is extraordinary, and it's live. They did it live. So if you listen closely enough, you can see that they're leading each other at the end of one section into the next section. Someone's changing a tempo or a rhythm or an intent, and then it leads into the next section. I had to sit down with my musical director, Elmer Johnson, and just say, hey, dude, help me figure this out, because some of it I could right away, tempo. I make my own charts, count charts, I call them. I gave them to my assistants, and so that's sort of a bedrock path to the music. But you have to count. It has to, and it's not easy sometimes, because they do. They go from sixes to eights in the middle of a phrase, and if you're not counting, you get lost, man. It's it's crazy. Been trying to instill them that sort of discipline of how the dance relates to the music and how they have to be independent of each other. They have to really work hard themselves to know the music. And that takes a lot of work.
Why was that the right music for this piece?
It just spoke to me. It's that simple. I look for other pieces of music, and what I've learned to do is not get in the way of my instincts and get in the way of what I do as a choreographer. I love choreographing. If I could do that every day of the week, I would do that. I was chosen to do that. And I had to realize that as a young man in the business of dance, which is, being a straight guy in the dance business can be difficult sometimes and fun. But I had to understand that I was chosen to do this, the make dance, to do that. And now I know enough to know to trust my creative instincts.
After the performance, January 28th, will Migration live on?
I'm hoping to move it to New York and do it with a cast of professionals and bring in a costume designer, lighting designer, set designer, and do it, maybe at the Armory on Park Avenue in New York. And so, but it's a big project. It's going to take a lot of funding, and I'm in the process of, laying the groundwork for that.
This got some funding from the National Endowment for the
Arts,
right?
Which was extraordinary. I mean, that the CCBC was recognized for what they were trying to do with Baltimore Stories, and this was part of that. There are three different artists, and I'm one of them. I thought, you know what, that's really great that they recognize that the intent of the project, which is to really to connect with the community of dancers in Baltimore, and I was really happy about that.
What has it meant to you and your dancers to be working on this production when we're having the public discussion we're having these days in the U.S. about immigration and who is welcome?
Yeah, you know, I've tried to speak to them about the dancers, you know, the high school kids, like, hey, we're connected. And I would say to Michaela, who's like really beautiful and dark, and I'm like, Michaela, you and I are connected, our DNA. And here's the research to say that. And I sent them YouTube videos of Spencer speaking about his research. You know, I think the political idea doesn't come into the room so much, but the idea of what we're trying to do and bring it to the community. It's a free performance. So I really wanted to make sure that it was free to the public. And Ann Lefter's over at the director of performing arts at CCBC, you know, made that happen, which I think it was great because I want as many people to see the hard work that these students have put in. So it's a teaching process as well as just, you know, choreographing, having them, you know, experience the dance, experience each other from different places. I think that has been very valuable. And I think that speaks to the idea of like, hey, you're not alone. You would get blinders on. You're in your dance studio. You're doing your dance. But there are other people doing the same thing, other places in the city. And so I think we get sort of, you know, sort of locked in to what we're doing at a particular place. But there are a lot of different things going on around the city, around the world. And I think we need to kind of, hopefully this will make them aware of that.
A really exciting project. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Peter Pucci is a dancer, choreographer, and alumnus of the Community College of Baltimore County. He's returned to Baltimore to create Migration, a large-scale dance experience involving high school, college, and professional dancers. Migration will be performed on Sunday, January 28th, in the Wellness and Athletic Center of CCBC Essex at 2 p.m. The performance is free, but tickets are required. Check the On the Record page at WYPR.org for more information. Quick break now, On the Record, and then a Stoop story. I'm Sheila Cass. Stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.